and welcome to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. Today's episode is going to be discussing a topic that is probably a little more niche than the topics I usually cover, and something I'm guessing a lot of you have probably never heard of. And that is the phenomenon known as the Marfa Lights. This is something that I remember hearing about a couple years ago, I think on another podcast, perhaps like a YouTube video, and then I kind of just forgot about it. And then recently I was talking to a family member who mentioned that he personally experienced this phenomenon, and hearing him describe it himself made me interested in the topic all over again. And I thought it would be a really interesting topic to cover for an episode because I don't think a lot of people know about it. So this episode will be a mixture of information and theories from online articles, as well as firsthand experiences from people who have seen the Marfa Lights themselves. I bet that by the end of this episode, you are all going to be hooked on this topic, just like me, and we're all going to have to get in the car and drive to Marfa, Texas, and see this for ourselves. I know that I have not released an episode in quite a while. I've, you know, just been struggling to find time to work on the podcast. I work full time. I have a crazy toddler at home, but I'm really, really glad to be doing another episode today. I'm still also working on a more in-depth two-part series that I mentioned in the last episode that is still in the works, and that's going to be released next. I appreciate all of you listening today and all of you who have stuck with Weird on the Rocks through my inconsistent posting. You guys are the best. You can find Weird on the Rocks on Instagram and Facebook at Weird on the Rocks Podcast and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Please subscribe to the show wherever you're listening now to get the newest episodes right when they're released. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. Tonight, I'm drinking a pineapple cider by the Schilling Brewing Company. I'm not exactly sure where this stuff is from, but somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, it says. I first tried this stuff at a local beer fest here, and my friends and I loved it, and I kept going back to the booth to get more. So I was really stoked when I saw it here in a local store. For those of you here in Humboldt, I found this stuff at the Cutton Murphy's, and they also have an apple flavor, which I'm going to try next. This stuff is really, really flavorful and like rich, but it's not too sweet, and it would be so good and refreshing on like a warm summer's day at the lake or the river. But it's also really good on a cold, rainy day like today, which we've been having too many of. All right, well, let's get into it. Cheers, and let's get weird. Tough to get to, tougher to explain. This is the slogan of Marfa, Texas. Marfa, population 1,750, is a town in far west Texas, between the Davis Mountains and Big Bend National Park. Marfa is truly in the middle of nowhere, set in the desert landscape, with the biggest city, El Paso, being 200 miles away, and the nearest interstate over an hour's drive. Marfa was founded in the early 1880s and was originally a place solely for steam trains to stop and replenish their water. Marfa's population began to slowly grow in the 1920s when the Marfa Army Airfield was constructed and served as a training facility for several thousand pilots during World War II. However, after the war ended, many left Marfa due to a severe drought that wiped out their agricultural production. Then, in the 1970s, minimalist artist and critic Donald Judd moved to Marfa, where he immediately began buying buildings and land to use as permanent art installations for himself and other artists. Soon, Marfa became an art mecca, a tiny little desert town full of unique art and culture. And although Donald Judd died in 1994, the town kept with this tradition of offering interesting art set against the desolate desert background. In 2005, the permanent installation Prada Marfa opened, which the artists Elmgreen and Dragset describe as, quote, a pop architectural land art project, end quote, and is a small freestanding building that looks exactly like a Prada store, but is non-functional and empty except for some dust-covered shoes and handbags on display inside. In the years since its creation, Prada Marfa has become a tourist and influencer destination, with thousands of people visiting each year to take a photo in front of it and share on social media. And in 2012, Vanity Fair described Marfa as, quote, a playground for art world pioneers and pilgrims, end quote. But although Marfa boasts of its trendy art scene and Instagram-worthy picture opportunities, there is something else that keeps drawing people to this barren land, and that is something called the Marfa Lights. These are different colored lights that can be seen on U.S. Route 67 and are visible on clear nights between Marfa and the Pisano Pass when one is facing southwest toward the Chinati Mountains. These lights have no known cause or origin, and those who have experienced them say they are very distinguishable from ranch lights or car headlights in the distance. According to the Handbook of Texas Online, quote, at times they appear colored as they twinkle in the distance. They move about, split apart, melt together, disappear, and reappear, end quote. And aerospace engineer James Bunnell described the lights as, quote, you might just see mysterious orbs of light suddenly appear above desert foliage. These balls of light may remain stationary as they pulse on and off with intensity varying from dim to almost blinding brilliance. Then again, these ghostly lights may dart across the desert or perform splits and mergers. Light colors are usually yellow-orange, but other hues, including green, blue, and red, are also seen. Marfa mystery lights usually fly above desert vegetation, but below background mesas, end quote. The first known documentation of the lights dates back to 1883, when a rancher named Robert Ellison saw a flickering light in the distance while he was driving cattle through the Pisano Pass, and he thought it was perhaps a campfire from the Apache tribe. Robert set out to the area to see for himself, as the Apache usually did not come that close to the ranches. But he found no evidence of a fire ever being in the area. Then, in 1885, Joe and Anne Humphreys also claimed to see similar lights in the distance, and their accounts can be found in Cecilia Thompson's book, The History of Marfa and Presidio County, Texas. And in the 140 years since the first eyewitness report, thousands of people claim to have seen the lights. The Marfa lights have become not only a tourist attraction for this small Texas town, but also sort of a comforting presence for the people of Marfa, who have known of them their entire lives. Rosemary Cox, granddaughter of Robert Ellison, the first person to report seeing the lights, still lives in Marfa, Texas. She says that back in the day, boys would drive girls out to the plains and park their cars to look at the lights as a form of courting, she called it. When asked if the lights were actually a mystery or if their origin can be solved, she said, quote, oh, I think they're a mystery, and I want them to remain a mystery, end quote. And in a piece for Texas Monthly, journalist Michael Hall said, quote, yeah, I've always told anyone who asked me about the Marfa lights, I've seen them, not just once either. I've been to far west Texas a dozen times over the past decade. So of course I've seen the lights, as people have for more than a century. I've seen them at dusk and at midnight, in the summer and the fall, by myself and with other people. They appeared in the darkness south of US 90 between Alpine and Marfa, yellowish-white lights that glowed, faded, disappeared, and returned in different places. Sometimes they changed colors, other times they split apart. I couldn't tell if they were 10 miles away or 100, the size of a car or the size of a house. I didn't understand them, but I didn't care. I loved those lights, end quote. In 2003, the Marfa Lights Viewing Center was built on Highway US 90 in Marfa, Texas. The observation area is free to the public with parking available and telescopes free for use. The center was built as a way to allow people to safely look for the lights, as many were pulling over to the side of the road in the dark, causing safety issues. And while many who stop here are lucky enough to get a glimpse of the lights, not everyone sees them, and they aren't visible at all times. The Viewing Center's website and Google page are filled with people's reviews and experiences. One person says, quote, "The trip out there is worth it for the view of the stars. Once you get over that, you can start staring at the horizon. At first, you think those are just headlights. Then one goes higher than the other and it splits. I left shaking my head. Truly a mystery," end quote. Another review says, quote, "Great place to view stars. Sadly, we didn't see the mystery lights, but the view of the stars was worth it on its own," end quote. Another visitor says, quote, "Unfortunately, the lights weren't active during my visit in Marfa. Nonetheless, this spot was quite breathtaking and the visitor center building was very cool," end quote. And another person wrote, quote, "Was really skeptical on this stop. We were lucky enough to catch colorful flashes. Closest I can describe is it looked like heat lightning or a small transformer blowing. That isn't the cause, just what it would remind you of vaguely. I have no idea why or what it was, but it was surprisingly fun and unique," end quote. So what exactly are people seeing when they say they've seen the Marfa lights? While the descriptions vary slightly, most recollections are eerily similar. I'm now going to read 11 different comments I found on Reddit and YouTube from those who have experienced the Marfa lights firsthand. Comment number one, quote, "I observed those lights moving erratically and vertically as well as horizontally. Besides, there are accounts of the lights that predate the invention of cars," end quote. Comment number two, quote, "If you actually see them, it's pretty fucking crazy. I'm not one for the paranormal, but I can't explain what I saw there," end quote. Comment number three, quote, "I've been and seen them. It doesn't make sense. Some of the lights were in the hills, but some were in the sky. They didn't really move like you would expect car lights to. They were mostly stationary. They came in a variety of colors. Also, there is so little traffic out that way. There's just no way you would see that many lights. If the argument is that you're just seeing headlights, no way. If the argument is that something about the surroundings reflects or projects headlights, well, maybe, but that still doesn't seem right," end quote. Comment number four, quote, "It's still really cool. Some sort of mirage effect seems to raise the lights above the mountains, and they always appear just to the left of what I assume is a cell phone tower with a red light on top," end quote. Comment number five, quote, "I'm guessing that the story about it happening before cars existed is totally fabricated to get tourists to the town. And from what I'm reading, no documented evidence exists before a newspaper article from the 50s. I still suggest to go check it out if you were there and come up with your own conclusion," end quote. Comment number six, quote, "I experienced the Marfa lights before I ever knew they existed. Was driving back from California and took an alternate route. It was nighttime. We thought it was a train light riding next to us, but it moved behind us and then to the right of us. We hauled ass and noped out of there. When I got home and told the story, my mother said, 'Oh, you saw the Marfa lights. The scariest crap ever. It felt like it was chasing us,'" end quote. Comment number seven, quote, "I saw them with a large group of friends many, many years ago, before the internet, and it's still one of the most vivid memories. We pulled over on the side of the road and watched them slowly meander along the horizon for a good 30 minutes. It was pitch dark, no lights for miles. They were most definitely not headlights since they moved horizontally and vertically above the horizon. They also changed colors and blinked in and out of sight. I even saw two lights come together into one and then disappear," end quote. Comment number eight, quote, "I saw them. I was probably 10 or 12 years old. Scared the crap out of me on the long, dark drive back to our hotel. I remember multiple lights, changing colors, moving up and down, sideways, and even combining into one light and then back into two or three," end quote. Comment number nine, quote, "I saw them at the observatory in Marfa. We were just passing through for the night. They were truly strange, mainly because they were really, really close, like 30 feet away. They were sort of like beads of water rolling around close to the ground, but not on it, and coming together, then coming apart, sometimes bouncing up a little smaller than basketballs, but they looked 3D and round, like little bouncy balls of light," end quote. Comment number 10, quote, "Back in 2016, I witnessed the Marfa lights both at the viewing station and outside of town a few days apart. They were balls of light the size of basketballs that suddenly appeared and disappeared. They were different colors, flew through the air, and were capable of making sharp turns that seemed to defy the laws of physics and momentum. Some looked miles away and some were 50 feet away," end quote. And comment 11, quote, echoing what many others have commented, but when I saw them, they were incredibly close. My partner and I had just pulled off a road trip to the viewing station in the pitch dark with no expectations, and not only were they there, they were right there, maybe 20 to 30 feet away at their closest. Crazy to hear later that it's not a common experience for most people who go to see them there. They were so out in the open that it felt like a casual thing. Also looked roughly basketball-sized and seemed to roll together and apart like beads of water and bounce a bit along the ground. They were very charming, end quote. So with how interesting and compelling these firsthand experiences are, it leaves the question, what are the Marfalites? Well, there are several different theories. The first theory that pops up when you search the Marfalites is perhaps the most reasonable and anticlimactic explanation possible, that the lights are simply headlights from cars in the distance. In May 2004, a group from the Society of Physics students at the University of Texas at Dallas spent several days conducting research on the lights, and they came to the conclusion that they are simply just headlights from Highway 67, which is visible from the Marfa Lights viewing station. During their investigation, they only observed the lights moving in straight lines, which matched the cars driving on the straight stretch of highway. They also went to the highway and flashed their lights in the direction of the viewing station, and it appeared to them at the viewing station as a Marfa light. However, many are skeptical of this explanation, as many do not experience the lights simply moving horizontally, but instead see them bobbing around, up and down, merging and splitting. In a YouTube video by user Verify Road Trip, host David Schechter traveled to Marfa, Texas to see the lights for himself. He found that lights did appear on the horizon and were seen up high, down low, zigzagging around, as well as appearing to flash. Upon further investigation, he learned that there is a rural mountain road about 20 miles in the distance, and they were seen lights from cars driving down the bumpy and zigzagging road. The lights appeared to flash because they were driving behind trees or going around corners, making them temporarily not visible. David then got into a helicopter that flew him over the Marfa Lights viewing station and the land surrounding it, making him truly see how far away the highway and said mountain road really are. However, the pilot of the helicopter explains that in the area, the air is so clean and free of air pollution that it is possible to see car lights from that far. But the skeptics of the headlights theory say that the lights they've seen just couldn't possibly be from headlights. A 1990 news clip interviewed several people who were born and raised in the area who believe that something other than passing cars are on the horizon line. As previously mentioned, the Army had an airbase in Marfa during World War II, where then pilot Fritz Kald remembers seeing the Marfa lights for the first time. In the 1990 interview, he said, quote, "It's black as the ace of spades out here at night, and we could see these strange little lights off in the distance. I'm talking 1943. You didn't have guard lights. You didn't have vehicular lights. You didn't have yard lights. There was no electricity on the ranches at all," end quote. Aerospace engineer James Bunnell is perhaps the most familiar with the Marfa lights, having grown up in the area, writing 4 books on the topic, and dedicating his years after retirement to trying to discover the origin of the Marfa lights. In 2000, James saw the lights for himself, where he said he witnessed, quote, "a shocking light display for which I could find no reasonable explanation," end quote. He proceeded to set up 10 wide-spectrum and infrared cameras on nearby ranches and look through all available footage of the lights, hoping to find a pattern, but he said, quote, "no pattern emerged," end quote. When asked about the theory of car headlights, James admitted that, yes, people are seeing car headlights out there, but those are not the true Marfa lights. The headlights can be seen every night at the viewing station, and people go out there, see those, and believe they saw the Marfa lights. But he explains that the true lights are very rare and occur only several dozen times a year, saying, quote, "the actual lights are a rare occurrence. If you really want to see them, you have to be very patient," end quote. Through his research, Bunnell has concluded that 97% of what people think are the Marfa lights have reasonable explanations, such as car lights, but also stars, satellites, and airplanes. Bunnell explains that he first saw lights out there when he was 5 years old with his grandfather, but it was not a very memorable experience. However, again in the year 2000, He ventured out and this time saw something completely different, strengthening his belief that he also merely saw car headlights when he was a young boy. Upon that second viewing in 2000, James says that the lights looked like balls of fire and gas, appearing in different colors, moving erratically across the horizon line, and in his words, quote, absolutely not headlights, end quote. So what other explanation can there be? Bunnell believes that the Marfa lights phenomena have two possible causes. The first is that they are caused by igneous rock under Mitchell Flat, the area where the Marfa lights appear, which creates something known as a piezoelectric charge, which is electricity produced under pressure by solid matter such as minerals, crystals, or ceramics. This charge is what he believes creates these mysterious lights, which could actually be gas radiating up from underground. His second hypothesis is that the lights are actually ball lightning, something that the scientific community believes to be real, but is extremely rare and hard to see. Usually occurring during thunderstorms, ball lightning is when lightning creates glowing, luminescent balls of light that stay visible for longer than a lightning strike. And there are several verified images and videos of the phenomenon. Although the Marfa lights are not connected to thunderstorms or lightning, Bunnell suggests that the lights are caused by the unique tectonic activity in Mitchell Flat, where two tectonic plates meet and rub together, causing enough friction to create visible light. And there is also another scientific theory that some believe, which is that the lights are some kind of optical illusion or a mirage. What is sometimes called a superior mirage or fata morgana is the refraction of light caused by layers of air at different temperatures and occurs when a layer of calm, warm air rests above a layer of cooler air. This type of illusion often happens on the ocean, causing ships to appear as if they are floating above the horizon line. And indeed, the temperature gradients needed to cause such an effect are present in the Texas desert, where temperatures can differ between 40 to 50 degrees regularly. Journalist Kirby Warnock refers to the Marfa lights as his Loch Ness monster, and admits that he has been obsessed with them and their origin since he was young. Warnock believed that the reason nobody had come into close contact with the lights was because they were moving in cars or in airplanes, but someone needed to seek them out on foot. So one night, Kirby, his brother, and several friends packed up some gear and headed out into the desert in search of the lights. They saw the lights and walked towards them, and continued walking for 4 hours without ever reaching what appeared to be the lights ahead of them. Kirby explained that the closer they got, the further away the lights moved, and that they seemed to be, quote, teasing us, end quote. They never did reach the lights. Perhaps another scientific explanation could be that the lights are caused by natural gases coming into contact with oxygen. Often referred to as swamp gas, a glowing light can be produced when phosphine and methane meet oxygen. People have documented this phenomenon for hundreds of years, giving it the folklore name of Fool's Fire, due to people seeing in the distance and believing there was a campfire ahead. It is usually documented in swampy or marsh areas because of the levels of phosphine and methane in the ground that evaporates. But as an article by Live Science titled, What Are the Marfa Lights? Says, quote, though the Marfa lights are nowhere near a marsh, there are significant reserves of oil, natural gas, and other petroleum hydrocarbons in the area, which could include methane in quantities capable of producing an effect similar to that created by swamp gas, end quote. But just as every unexplainable and mysterious occurrence has scientific theories, there are also those who believe that something more mystical or supernatural is happening in the desert lands of Marfa, Texas. It's important to remember that the first sightings of the Marfa lights date back to the 1880s, long before the roads were filled with cars or people had electricity in their farm homes. The area now known as Marfa, Texas, was first inhabited by the Apache Indian tribe. Some believe that the spirits from those who first claimed the land still roam there, and that the lights are the light of the Apache Indian chief El Sate, who was killed by Mexicans when he refused to leave his home on the land. And there are also those who believe that the lights do not originate from anything ever of this world. Some think that the land with its rich history is the spawning ground for supernatural beings, where there could be a possible portal to another world, and that these balls of light are actually aliens. In 1973, geologist Pat Kenny and Elwood Wright witnessed two cantaloupe-sized balls of light come, quote, barreling out of the southwest towards them at almost 200 miles per hour, end quote. One sped off toward the abandoned Marfa Air Base, while the other slowed down and hovered 200 feet away from them. They said that the light seemed to be, quote, daring us to chase it, as if it possessed some sort of intelligence, end quote. So what do you think the Marfa lights really are? Perhaps a naturally occurring phenomenon such as gases being released from the Earth's surface, or perhaps moving tectonic plates? Are the dancing lights the glowing torch of an Indian chief trying to find his way home? Are the alien beings trying to communicate with us or trick us? Or maybe they are just cars driving on a Texas highway. But whatever your opinion, it seems as though they will remain just that, and that the true nature of the mysterious, glowing, dancing lights in the Texas desert will remain a mystery. Okay, well, that's it for today's episode. I hope that you guys enjoyed learning about the Marfa lights, and I hope that it perhaps piqued your interest to do your own research and learn a little bit more. If you go on YouTube, you can find videos of the lights that people have captured and see for yourself what they look like. I unfortunately really do think that most people see headlights and think that those are the Marfa lights, when actually the true Marfa lights are documented to appear in a completely different area than most people at the viewing station are even looking. They're looking like straight ahead toward the highway, and the quote, real Marfa lights are off to the left or the right, I believe. In the Verify road trip video that I watched, they show the lights that they witnessed, and although they are really, really far away, they definitely look like car headlights going down a mountain. For those in Humboldt, which I know a lot of you live here, imagine if Eureka was like totally flat and you stood out by the bay and you looked out at a car driving down Neyland at night. This is kind of what it reminded me of. You would see where the lights would go away for a minute, then reappear somewhere else and sometimes appear to flash. So if someone was driving down a really windy, like wooded area or mountainous area, this is what would happen to your headlights as you went around turns or behind trees or whatnot. I think that these are probably what most people see, and they see it and they think, oh, yep, there's the Marfa lights, easy peasy. You know, I saw them quickly. However, there are pictures and videos of what I believe are the true Marfa lights, and they look distinctly different. These lights are bigger and glowing with like an aura around them. They look more gaseous than like a singular solid light as like a headlight. They bounce around, they collide, they split apart, change color, and really just look very unnatural and not uniform at all, like a headlight or a lamp would look, or an airplane light or something like that. For these, you know, true Marfa lights, I really have no idea what they could be. I love the idea of the lights being something supernatural, mystical, and that they are like perhaps sentient beings that are just out there living their own existence and for whatever reason settled in that area, maybe like the humidity, the temperature, you know, the ecosystem there is like this perfect spot for these beings to live and inhabit. That idea is really cool. You know, there are people that said it almost seemed like they were intelligent, that they were chasing them. They were trying to like trick them and lure them away. I mean, that is really fun to think about. And throughout history, I mean, there are different documentations of people seeing what are called ghost lights, which are just orbs of light that float around that are believed to be sentient beings. And perhaps, you know, it's something like that. And maybe they just want to be left alone in the desert. But, you know, in actuality, there is probably some type of natural occurrence, some type of scientific reason that this is happening. Maybe the gases found in that area are interacting, or the lights off the headlights are like refracting in some weird way that causes an optical illusion or a mirage of some sort. But whatever the origin or cause of these lights, I think they're really cool. And it's now my bucket list to go to Marfa, Texas and see them for myself. The whole town looks really cool. There are a lot of art galleries and like boutiques. The Prada Marfa, if you search that on Instagram, there are thousands of pictures. It's just, you know, it looks like a Prada store and it's just out in the middle of the desert. It's like an influencer's dream out there. So the town looks really cool. And so I think it's kind of this interesting juxtaposition of a town that is so kind of modern in that sense, where people are flocking there to like take pictures for social media. But then this weird kind of unexplainable thing is happening there that has been happening for, you know, close to what, 150 years. I think that unexplainable, mysterious things like this in life are part of what makes our human existence, you know, so special and unique. That might sound cheesy, but, you know, we have so much information at our disposal in a split second. We can find out anything on our phones and our computer, but there are still things happening around us that we just can't find an explanation for. There's no answer on Google for this. I think that, like, in a weird way, these types of things kind of unite us and bring us together in awe and in curiosity. It gives us something to talk about. It gives us something to disagree or agree on. It starts a dialogue, a conversation that's not about, you know, like politics. I think that if a study came out tomorrow debunking all of these theories and saying, you know, we found a gas out there, this is what it is, we have one definitive answer, that I might be kind of sad, because speculating and wondering is fun and exciting. But I want to know what you guys think. Have you ever heard of the Marfalites? If this was your first time hearing about them, what do you think it is? I would love to hear your guys' thoughts and opinions. And I especially want to know if any of you have seen them for yourself. That would be awesome. So please let me know. Thank you so much for listening today and for your continued support of the show. I really appreciate every single one of you. I promise I will be continuing the show for the time being, but just at my old lady pace. So bear with me. All right, until next time, cheers and stay weird.